We're turning in our Bibles to the second book of Chronicles and the chapter 20. Second Chronicles, the chapter 20, and today we begin our reading at the verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil, it was so much. And on the 4th day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berekah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berekah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. We'll end at verse 30, and we do know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Looking at this 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles once again, we're considering divine intervention in answer to prayer. God intervenes in Judah and in Jerusalem in answer to the cries of his people. And what an answer it really is. This intervention by God is beyond human belief. We've read the chapter. You know the story. And I'm sure you've taken a deep interest in the reading of those verses. It is beyond human belief and beyond even the expectation of the people. God answered far and above that the people could ask or think. And is that God is our God? This God is my God today, and he's yours. And so what a God he is. The God to whom we come in prayer is the Almighty. The Almighty. These three vast armies that united against God's people to destroy them are as nothing before this Almighty God. We have seen it plainly here in our Bible reading. Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, all enemies of the people of God, and therefore enemies of the Lord himself, and they combine together to oppose the Lord and his people, and they are seeking to destroy them. And in answer to prayer, God intervenes in a very grave situation and delivers Jehoshaphat, Judah, and Jerusalem. And instead of them being destroyed, the enemy that came up against them, they are themselves destroyed. That's the hand of God in answer to prayer. And we're encouraged to pray. We're encouraged to seek the Lord and to call upon his name. And we read that as Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah sought the Lord, that every intention and every imagination of the enemy was brought down to nothing. They were utterly defeated. They were utterly destroyed by God, without Israel having to draw a sword. The enemy was defeated without firing a shot. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great to see God's word? How great is our God? How futile to work then in the things of God without prayer. How futile to face the enemy without prayer. How futile it is to do God's work without prayer. How futile to preach without prayer. How futile to teach without prayer. How futile to do Sabbath school work, beeline work, young people's work without prayer. How futile for the church to go on week after week without prayer. And that's why we have prayer meetings. And from time to time, call for weeks of prayer and special times to be set aside to call upon the name of the Lord. We're up against a great enemy. And the enemies of the world combine to annihilate and afflict, to destroy the work of God. How great our God is. God answers prayer. We have no power of ourselves. And unless we look to the Lord in earnest, believing prayer, we are wasting our time. Let us, even at this particular time, rededicate ourselves to the Lord and to His work. And give ourselves afresh. And remember that we look to God in earnest, believing prayer. And as we look forward to these times of prayer, may it be that it'll be from the heart. And a congregation that is united in seeking the Lord and calling upon His name. As we noticed last week, we saw that the people realized their need for prayer in verses 1 and 2. And this incident here in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, this incident teaches us so much. Teaches us to depend upon the Lord. Our battle, of course, is a spiritual warfare. And we need to learn from the example of Israel to pray. We need to learn to pray. We need to be taught to pray. And we need to set ourselves to pray. And therefore, in short, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to learn to look to God. We need to learn to seek His power. We need to learn to glorify the Lord and that He might be revealed amongst us. For we cannot go in our own strength and we cannot do the work of ourselves. And while we may be very conscious of these things that I have been enumerating to you regarding the importance of prayer and the priority of prayer, and of maintaining a life of earnest prayer and practicing it day by day, not only personally, but as a congregation. If we are to nurture our prayer life, then this passage of God's Word teaches us so much by practical application that we cannot help but go forward leaning upon our Lord. Oh, may that be the case. We realize our need for prayer, as verses 1 and 2 have indicated to us so far. We are to pray always. Men ought always to pray, Jesus said, and not to faint. And you and I must see that there's no let up in the battle of prayer. Not letting the world and materialism and the enemy rob us of that blessed privilege and the benefits and the blessings received as we pray. There is a real need for prayer today. And as we begin our winter's work, we need prayer so much. We need prayer now as never before. We can prepare in all the aspects of the work. We can work so hard in the doing of our duty. But oftentimes, if that's the case and we do little praying, there will be little results. Let us therefore set ourselves to seek the Lord. Oh, may God kindle a flame in our hearts and a desire that we might seek His face and call upon His name. We need to prepare ourselves for prayer. Jehoshaphat did so. And in verse 3, he feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. Jehoshaphat began to fear the Lord. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And he prepared himself. And we need to prepare ourselves personally and corporately. It's personally, as individuals, as we seek Him in the quiet place. Corporately, as together we seek the Lord in the house of God. A great need to prepare. Let us prepare for prayer. We need to pray in confidence. In the confidence, not of ourselves, but of our relationship to God. You see, He's our God. Jehoshaphat said in verse 6, he said, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He said in verse 7, that this God is our God. Yes, verse 6, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not our God? And in verse 7, art not thou our God? Yes, this God to whom he prays, he reckons to be his God. The God of his people. The God of Judah. The God of Jerusalem. Prayer is a great privilege of God's people. And Jehoshaphat had that tremendous privilege. God has been a father to us in Christ, hasn't he? How long has the Lord been a father to you since you came to Christ? Count the years. Count the blessings. And what a privilege it is to come in confidence in prayer because of our relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We come to Him as our Father and we come to Him as His children. That's the relationship. We delight to come and pray as a people who know their God. We claim to know Him. We claim to know Christ. We belong to that people given by the Father to the Son in an eternal covenant of redemption. And it can never be broken. And we belong to God through Jesus Christ. And by faith we are bound to Him in that covenant relationship for all eternity. Therefore let us come with confidence because of our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. What a relationship and what a God in heaven we have. Let us come with confidence then to the throne of grace that we might find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray with an awareness that we're coming to the God of all power, the God of ability. Art thou not God in heaven? We come to one who is sovereign. He is the ruler of the universe. It is said that if we don't pray as we should, because we don't see God as He is. Sometimes we don't pray as we should because we don't see God as He is. He's the God of the universe. He's the Almighty. He's in charge of all affairs. He's even the God of the kingdoms of the heathen. He overrules. He's sovereign. And if only there was a proper realization and a grasping of this great truth, we would have much more confidence and satisfaction and joy and blessing in coming to prayer. It would be a thrill knowing the one to whom we come, he cannot fail. And he intervened here, and he met the need of Jehoshaphat and his people. He's still on the throne. He hasn't changed a bit. We come to one who's in control of the affairs of this world. Islam's not in control. Oh, they may temporarily instill fear into many people, and they may still rise in worldly power, but overall Islamists, overall Romanism, overall atheism, overall the powers of darkness, there's a God in heaven who controls the affairs of this world. And thank God today, our God, this God is our God. We need to believe this, not only in our heads, but with our hearts. Our God is able. God is pleased then to see the hearts of his people bowed in prayer, to see the heads of his people bowed in humility in his presence. And God is pleased to see that, and he's pleased to hear their cry, and he's pleased to answer their prayers. Oh, may it encourage us. We need to pray with faith. Prayer is not our overcoming God's reluctance to answer prayer, but prayer is bringing us to the place where we experience the overflow of God's blessing in accordance with the abundance of his grace. Let us experience that in coming days. Let us therefore plead with God and wrestle with God. We know that God is eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. Let us therefore come and plead with him, wrestle with him. Jacob did that. Others in Scripture have done it times gone by. Let us remember that this battle is not ours. Verse 15. Be not afraid. There's a lot of people afraid today. Afraid of what evil men will do. Afraid of evil powers and worldly powers. And they're afraid. Jehoshaphat was afraid. And here, Jehiel comes to tell Jehoshaphat and to tell his people, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Verse 15, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Ye shall not, verse 17, need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves and stand still. We get so easily frustrated, don't we? We're so easily knocked into a tizzy, and we're all over the place in worry, in concern and care. But here's a verse which says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. And then they're told what they ought to do. What a verse. Maybe you're tossed about today with personal problems and difficulties, and you're dismayed from top to bottom, and your world is topsy-turvy, and you know not whether to turn. Has the Lord not a word to steady your mind? Has he not a word to comfort your heart? Has he not a word to strengthen you? Would he not say to you, this is the Lord's battle? Seek my face, set yourself, and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. What a verse, and what comfort, and what a word from God in a time such as this. Let us plead and wrestle with God, knowing that the battle is it. Let's spread our helplessness before the Lord. If you look at verse 12, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. We have no might against this great company. This is the attitude and characteristic of humility. How we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Often the lack of prayer or desire to even pray is due to our own sinful pride. Because we think we are somebody. And we don't need to spend too much time asking God for help. And because of that attitude, we then don't pray. And we miss out on the blessing that God has for us. We can be so self-confident in our own abilities. God deliver us. God help us. And if we are such self-confident, God will leave us. And God will not bless us. And we will not know his help. But if we desire the blessing of God upon our lives, if we desire the blessing of God upon our church, if we desire the blessing of God upon the work of the Sabbath school and the Beeline children's meetings and the young people's work and all the work, the outreach, if we desire the blessing of God upon the work, that blessing must come and will only come from heaven's throne and nowhere else. And therefore, we must seek heaven's throne and plead for God from the throne above to pour out his Spirit and to pour out his blessing and to give this church a revival. It'll only come from there. You'll not work it up. It'll not come from any charismatic itch or from any so-called human intervention. We can invent all we like. We can bring in all kinds of things into the church. But what we need is men and women seeking God at the throne of grace and pouring out his Spirit upon the work. That's the crying out need of today. And let God speak to our hearts and show it to us. Prayer is the crying to God for that help and that blessing, that deliverance, which comes from a people depending upon God. Our eyes, verse 12, says, are upon the Lord. Let's give God the glory then, because he alone is worthy. You notice in verse 18 through to the end of the verses that we read, God's intervention was great. It was tremendous. And the people didn't forget to praise God for answered prayer. The whole of Judah was set to praise God because God heard their humble cry. He delivered them from their enemies. He blessed them abundantly, and he blessed the work that their hands were put to do. And they didn't even have to use the sword. It was all of God. And this is a spiritual work, as I have said. It's God's work. It's not to be done by fleshly efforts, by human interventions. It's the work of God. We're called upon to be God's servants, and we're called upon to do God's work in God's way, according to the Bible. And the Scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice, and the only foundation to be built upon as we do the work of God. And as we keep that in mind for the future, God will hold good for this church. He'll bless this denomination. He will keep his hand upon it. And God forbid that, like others before us through the years, we have gone down the road of compromise and apostasy. Today, in many instances, God has left those churches. May it never happen in the free church. May God keep us faithful. May he keep you faithful and me, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith.